Hi, my name is Wade Wegner, and I'm the Technical Evangelist for Windows Azure. And today I'm going to be talking to you about the Windows Azure Toolkits for Devices. We've had these toolkits around for some time now, and I want to talk to you about some updates that we've made and some enhancements to the toolkits for Windows Phone, for iOS, as well as a new toolkit that we're pleased to announce for Android. Now, the toolkits for devices are designed to make it easier for a device developer to take advantage of Windows Azure for running services and providing higher levels of capabilities that you may not get on the device. Specifically, we target three different environments today. We target the Windows Phone, and that includes both Windows Phone 7 projects as well as Mango projects. And we target iOS, and these have been around for some time now. And we've talked about Android, and so now we're actually in a position where we can announce Android, and I'm going to be able to give you a glimpse and a first look at what we have available for Android. Now, these toolkits include a number of different things that make it easier to build applications for devices and the cloud. These include native libraries that allow you to create native applications on the device. We also provide project templates that make it easier for you to get started building these applications so that you don't have to wire a lot of this stuff up yourself. We can provide the project template to get you started very, very fast. We've got a lot of samples that demonstrate how to take advantage of these libraries and project templates. And then finally, documentation that you can use. Now, before I start digging into this, what I want to do is kind of emphasize what is it that we're actually doing and how does it work. Now, if you think about the fact that a device, you've got your device just about anywhere, and you want to tap into services and capabilities that are running in the cloud. And traditionally what we'll do is we will use both a set of services running in Windows Azure as well as things like Windows Azure Storage or SQL Azure Database to store data. And so in most cases what we'll have is a device that makes a request to a service. It does a call. Now this service will be authenticated, or this service call will be authenticated, and once you have been authenticated, traditionally then you're going to go back and interact with some sort of data or some sort of unit that's running up in the cloud, and you might grab some data, grab that out, and then eventually this will come back to the device. And so this is a pretty common format and way in which you'll interact with these services and capabilities within the cloud. Now, through the toolkits, we provide a number of different services that run up in Windows Azure. And these are independent of the services that Windows Azure itself provides. First of all, we provide services that authenticate and authorize users. Now, you can do this a couple of different ways. You can do very simple membership, where you have username and passwords. And in fact, we use the membership providers provided by ASP.NET to make this possible across device platforms. But we also tie into the access control service, which takes identity to the next level by allowing you to federate your identity with things like LiveID or Yahoo or Google or Facebook, or even tapping into more corporate identities via Active Directory Federation services. Now, other services we provide are proxies on top of storage, both SQL Azure as well as Windows Azure Storage. And this is important because in a world of devices, you don't want to put your secure credentials down on the device and let the device talk directly to storage. You want to proxy it through a service that's going to allow you to keep your underlying secrets and your credentials secure. Now, in many cases, you'll want to still interact directly with storage. Let's say you want to pull down videos or pictures and so forth. And in those scenarios, we can use what's called a shared access signature to get access directly to the resource in a secure fashion. And so we provide a service that allows you to very, very easily from the phone request that shared access signature that you can then use to communicate directly with storage. And then finally, across all the device platforms, are the concept of push notifications. And a push notification is where the device opens up a channel specific for your service, which allows your service to push a notification directly down to the device, even if your application isn't open. And this is a great way to get data down to the device, to give people updates, and just let them know about additional things that are happening. And so all of these services we make available to you within the services that we provide, and then you can run these up in Windows Azure. Now, in addition to the services, we also provide a portal that you can use to manage and test things out and essentially exercise the full capabilities of the services. And so all these are provided, and let me now tell you a little bit about some of the updates that we've made for Windows Phone. This is actually going to be version 1.3. We've had a pretty significant cadence in terms of releases. And in 1.3, we finally introduced some built-in support for SQL Azure. And I'll show you that in a moment in a demo. But essentially, we show you how you can use SQL Azure for storing membership data. And then we also provide an example of an OData service head on top of SQL Azure so that you can do read-only access to this data. Now, previously we had used MVC2, since that was the template provided by Windows Azure for the tooling in Visual Studio. But with the updates to the 1.4 tools for Visual Studio, we now support MVC3. So we've also updated the toolkit to use MVC3. Now, in 1.3, we've updated support for tools for both Windows Phone Developer Tools to the RC bits, which were released last week, and also to the 1.4 release of the tools for Visual Studio, which were released earlier this month. And then finally, we've provided a sample as part of the toolkit called Babelcam. And you can take a look at this sample, look at all the source code and how things work. And essentially what it is it's a sample that was built using the toolkit that shows you how to use OCR services and translation services within the cloud, along with an application. So I will talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And what's nice about the sample is we've also released it to the marketplace. So you can try it on your phone, go to the marketplace and download it and give it a try, as well as look at the source code. All right, so with that, let's take a quick look at a demo of this stuff running in action. And so I'm going to flip over first to Visual Studio. And when you download the toolkit, what you end up getting is a Visual Studio extensibility file that's added into Visual Studio. And what that gives you is a bunch of project templating that you can take advantage of within Visual Studio. So let me go ahead and show you what this looks like. So if you take a look down, once you install this, you'll see an extensions manager that I've got the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows Phone installed. And so when I go to create a new project, you'll see that I have two new project templates that are available to me that we provide as part of this: the Windows Phone Cloud application, as well as the Windows Phone Empty Cloud application. Now, the Windows Phone Cloud application essentially gives you the Windows Phone components along with the Windows Azure components already wired up together with a sample. So essentially, you can create a new project, go through a quick wizard, and hit F5, and you're up and running. If you want the ability to customize things a little bit more, you can use the Empty Cloud application, which still provides you the underlying projects, and everything's wired up, but we don't have the demo sample application in there as well. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and create a new cloud application. Now, with 1.3, we've included SQL Azure, so you can see here we have another opportunity to add SQL Azure as a as essentially a data source in the cloud for us to use. And you can actually choose both. So if you want to still take advantage of Windows Azure Storage, you can. But if you also want to take a look at how SQL Azure might now be leveraged as a relational database, you can choose this as well. If I hit Next, I'm going to be prompted to enter in some credentials for my storage account. You can enter your account name and key here if you want. It'll update your Windows Azure projects accordingly. Or if you just want to work locally, you can use the storage emulator. So that's what I'm going to choose. And then since we chose SQL Azure, I now can enter my SQL Azure database server information here as well, or I can choose to just use SQL Express locally, which is a nice option. I'm going to choose Next. We provide built-in support for push notifications as well. So by default, we include the MPNS service, which is for the Windows Phone. But if you're also targeting iOS applications, you can choose to include support for the APNS. And just if that's the case, you can just check this, which is going to prompt you to select your X509 certificate that you use to sign the request that's made through the APNS channel, and you can move forward. I'm going to go ahead and cancel this since that's not what I'm going to do here. And then in the last step, you can choose how you want to authenticate users, either through simple ASP.NET membership store or through the access control service. Vittorio Bertacci, who is in the identity team, has provided a great video tutorial on using the access control service. So to keep things simple here, I'm going to go ahead and just use the ASP.NET membership store within table storage and click OK. All right, and so what this is now doing is it's creating and setting everything up so that I can essentially hit F5 and get running. And what you'll see is we've got all our projects. I can show you here's my Windows Azure project. I've got my phone project, and I've got my web project. And everything's already wired up together so that I can just get started. Now, I'm going to go ahead and hit F5. And what this is going to do is open up all the local emulators and get everything running. So here I'm going to get my Windows Phone emulator. And it's also going to take advantage and leverage the Windows Azure Compute emulator so that all my services are also running in the Compute emulator locally. And that'll get started here in a moment. And once it does, then we can start running. Now, in the interim, one thing I should point out is when you're using the phone emulator, you're going to end up leveraging a certificate to authenticate the calls to your services since we're using HTTPS. And so you can see here in the browser, we get a warning, and we can just go ahead and click continue because we're using a self-signed certificate, and that's fine. When you go to deploy, you'd use something different. Now, the phone doesn't give you that option to just go ahead and proceed anyway with the self-signed certificate. So when you're using the self-signed certificate, what you want to do is make sure that you install the certificate into the phone certificate store. And it's pretty easy to do. You just click that install certificate, select it, install it, and you're done. And as long as you keep the compute emulator open, you won't end up having to do this again. Now at this point, since we're using a membership store, I'm going to go ahead and just create a new user. And a little tip here, if you're using the emulator and you want to use your keyboard, just go ahead and hit page up. And so I'm going to say demo user, demo at user.com. I'm going to choose an extremely secure password. And I'm going to go ahead and register. And this will register locally, because again, it's making a call to the compute emulator and the service is running there. And now that that user is created, I'm going to go ahead and log in. Now, if you note right here, you'll see that we have a Remember Me option. And this is nice because what we'll end up doing is when we authenticate to the services, it's going to generate a token. And that token can be stored locally in isolated storage so that the next time you open up this application, it can use that token. And as long as it hasn't expired, you won't have to authenticate again back into your application. So I'm going to leave that Remember Me option checked. And we'll go ahead and log in. Now that I've logged in, there's a number of things that this sample application demonstrates. And let me walk you through them real quick. So first of all is notifications. And this is probably one of the most impressive aspects of this toolkit is the ability to very easily and rapidly get push notifications set up and supported by your app. And so to demonstrate this, I'm going to use the portal as well. And if I come to the portal, we've already got an administrator account set up. The password is provided in the documentation. So you can just look up in the documentation what the default administrator password is. And you'll see here under users that I've probably got a couple of users set up. Here's our demo user. And what I want to do is essentially set up a notification channel to my demo user. Now here's another user that was probably from a previous demo. That device isn't set up, so we just want to make sure that we're pushing to our new demo user. So here in the app, I'm going to go ahead and enable push notifications. And what this is doing is it's the phone app now is communicating to MPNS and essentially creating a channel that it's going to allow my services to push notifications through. And then once that channel is established, it's sending it up into Windows Azure and registering that channel. So now, if I reload this page, you'll see here's demo user, and I have the ability to just start sending notifications. So let's go ahead and send a raw notification. And I'm going to go ahead and send raw. And you see it's been successful. And notice now here we've got that raw notification because the raw notification allows you to push a message directly into the application. And so that's pretty cool. It was done in just a few seconds. Very easy to do. So let's now try tile and toast. If I send a toast message, it's going to just send that directly into the app. And we're going to see it right here. You can see that this toast message just was sent down and popped up. So very easy, a nice way to send stuff. If I want to send a tile message, first let me pin this to the start. So here's my tile, and I'm going to go ahead and I'll send a tile message. And you can see it was successful, and in this scenario what we've done is we've just pushed a tile message that just sends and updates the count. You can very easily change the implementation and have it update the title, or the image that's displayed here. So let's open this up again. And the last thing that I want to demonstrate is you can see that our app remembered that we sent a Tile and Toast message. So it, by default, sets it up such that you can send this information, or at least you can pull this information into the application as well, because we store this up in a table up in Windows Azure. And then there's a service that you can call into to demonstrate and or to show what the most recent messages were that were sent. So that's notifications. Pretty straightforward and simple. Here we provide a demonstration of how you can interact with tables. So you can see here's some existing tables. This is actually the membership tables that are being displayed here. I can create new tables pretty easily. In fact, I can also delete tables. Now, what's nice about proxying through a set of services is that we can provide some additional capabilities and authorizations on top of these tables. So for instance, here you can see that table that I just created, and you'll see that demo user has access to this table. Now watch what happens when I remove that access and he's no longer authorized. If I come here and try to delete it, you'll see that I get an error message that says you don't have permissions to use that table. Now that's something that's we provide through that proxy service that just gives you more capabilities. So now I can start creating tables and only authorizing certain users to have access to them. And now that I've reauthorized that user, I can go ahead and delete it. So that's pretty nice. Sample data, so this is actually creating data within a table. Just some demo data here. And the number is really just to demonstrate that we can support different types of data. And now you can see here I've got that row. I could select it, delete it, and interact with that just like how you'd expect to interact with any kind of table data. We also support the ability to interact with blobs. And one of the easiest ways to think about this is I could hook into the camera, I could take a picture with the camera, and then take this picture and upload it into storage. So you can see here's Wade's test picture. Go ahead and upload that into storage. And now if I go ahead and list out blobs, you'll end up seeing here's Wade's test picture. And even though it's in secure storage, I can generate that shared access signature and display that picture, so if I want to take a look at it. So pretty easy, but pretty useful. Queues. So in some cases, you may want to offload some work to a worker role running up in Windows Azure so that it's running in the background. And queues are a great way to do that. So you have full ability to interact with queues. I can create new queues, and then I can even enqueue messages into the queues. So let me just go ahead and enqueue a bunch of stuff up, and then I'm going to dequeue it. So there's one, there's two, and three is still in there. And what I want to just demonstrate before I dequeue that is we also support the same type of authorization model on top of queues, where if I remove access for a demo user and then try to dequeue it, you'll see now I get a warning message saying that I don't have permissions to use that queue. So pretty neat stuff. All right, so there's queues. And the last thing is what's new, and this is demonstrating that SQL Azure OData service on top of, that OData service on top of SQL Azure. And so what we've done here is we've got an OData service that you can call out to and essentially provide read-only access to data. So if you want to start storing data in tables in SQL Azure and then either create stored procs or views or just call those tables directly, you can do that and then surface it up through an OData service within your application. So very easy to do. And if you end up wanting to take a look, you can go into Management Studio here locally, just point to the database that was created and just start updating that data, and you can see those updates reflected directly here within the application. So those are some of the updates for SQL Azure. One thing I'll note too is the application here, the website, looks the same, but it has been updated to MVC3. Many of you have asked for this for a while. I think we're very excited that it's using MVC3 now. So that's pretty neat. The last thing that I want to show you is when you take a look at the package that you download, in here we've got a set of samples. And since we had a bunch of samples for Windows Phone 7 applications, what we've done is we've kept those since that marketplace will stay open for a while. And you can still take a look at all those samples. We've also started creating a repository for samples for Windows Phone 7.1 applications here. So you can take a look at those. So we provide both of those samples. Moving forward, we'll just start targeting the Mango and the 7.1 samples, but we'll keep the 7.0 stuff there for historical purposes. Within the samples, you're going to see not only the templates that I just showed you in the full source for it, but also Babelcam. And so you can take a look at Babelcam, and it's the full source code. Again, Babelcam is available out in the marketplace, so you can not only see how it runs by downloading it to your app today, but you can also take a look at the full source code here. So, all right. So with that, let's go back and talk about iOS. Now, we've made a number of updates for iOS, one of the things worth pointing out is with version 1.2 also includes the access control service integration. So you can use the ACS service now from an iOS application so that when you go to log into your application, you can choose an identity from LiveID, from Google, from Facebook, from Yahoo, or even ADFS if you want to use corporate accounts. So that's pretty neat. We also provide support out of our sample for the Apple Push Notification Service. And you can use the service that's running in Windows Azure that I talked about just a few moments ago here to demonstrate those capabilities. And then finally, we have made some bug fixes in the underlying library. In particular, there were a number of memory leaks that had been reported to us, and then we were able to isolate and update. Mostly around the use of a C library and making sure that we were deallocating the use of some of the libraries and some of the objects that we were using in those libraries. So a lot of updates made for this toolkit, which I think you'll all like. And the next thing is a number of folks have said, well, you know, I'm using a Mac. How do I end up using services in Windows Azure? And because I can't run Visual Studio, I can't interact with the Windows Azure project templates. Just as I demonstrated a few moments ago. And, you know, first of all, you know, understand many of you use a Mac. That's fine. There is a path for you. And so what we've done is we've created what we call cloud-ready packages for devices. And essentially what these are they're pre-compiled packages that have all the services available to you. So instead of having to create the services and create the package that you upload to Windows Azure, instead you can use the packages that we've pre-created for you, you can update some configuration information that you'll deploy with the package, and then deploy these directly up into Windows Azure using the portal. Makes it very simple. You don't have to write any code. You don't have to use Visual Studio. Everything will end up working. Now, the other thing that we did is to make it even easier for you to configure the services in the package, we've created a configuration utility that you can use and essentially walk through the whole process so that you can get everything running, get it out there, and you don't have to know or have understanding of kind of the XML format that's used for the package. And you won't also have to go out to the access control service if that's what you choose to use and configure all those services yourself. The tool will do it for you. And so with that, let me show you a couple of things with some of these updates and demonstrate some of these capabilities. So the first thing that I want to show is the fact that we have an organization set up on GitHub. It's called Microsoft-DPE, and this is where we're releasing all of this source code. We have a number of projects up here, and so I want to take a couple of minutes just to talk through these. Probably the most important one for you to take a look at is the actual toolkit library. And so if you take a look at the library, this is where the bulk of the work and everything that we've been creating has been released to. And essentially it's a Xcode project that provides a library for all the storage interaction, for authentication authorization, for APNS, for the access control service, etc. And we've put a lot of time and effort into this. So definitely take a look at this. You can grab the bits, try it out. But sometimes the library itself isn't enough. So what we've done is we've also created a sample application. And so this sample application is a very simple iPhone app that is set up to use the library and essentially exercise the entire API service of the library. It's also an Xcode project, it's set up already to use the library. So definitely you can download this and very quickly get things up and running and take a look at it. Now, as you start moving forward with this, one of the things you'll realize is as you're using the Mac, you don't have the ability to create the CSPKG file that you need to deploy into Windows Azure. And you can really only do this on a Windows environment today. And so what we've done to mitigate that is we've created these cloud-ready packages. And essentially what they are is they're pre-compiled packages for different scenarios. So you can see here that based on what it is that you're trying to do with the toolkits, we've got a flavor of the cloud-ready package for you. So if you're doing just simple membership and just wanting to leverage membership in table storage, you can just grab the cloudready.devices.membership zip file. If you want to do membership and have push notification support, you can use APNS membership. Now, if you're using the access control service, then you can grab one of these. And essentially, all you'd need to do then is download the resources, and you'd get the compiled CSPKG file. And then with that CSPKG file comes a CFCFG file. That's the configuration file. And so you can modify that configuration file so that it's specific to your environments. It's gonna, you can, you know, update the access control service service namespace that you use. You can specify what your cloud app domain name is, things like that. And then you just deploy the CSPKG file with the CFCFG. It's very simple. It doesn't require a lot of work. The one complication is, you know, make the assumption that a lot of people probably aren't as familiar with the format of the XML used for the CFCFG file. And so to mitigate that, what we've done is we've created a configuration utility. Now, with this configuration utility, essentially what it is it's a application that you run on Mac that's a wizard that you'll walk through, and at the end of running through this wizard, it will create the CFCFG file properly formatted for you. And if you use the access control service, it'll go out to the REST management endpoints for ACS and actually set everything up for you. So it makes the whole process extremely easy. So, and we have a video of how this works. Vittorio Bertacci, again, created a video on a Mac demonstrating how to use this, and I'll be sure to link to it from our show notes. So these are the resources. Now, once you get the stuff down here and running, essentially what you can do then is open up Xcode and you'll get a project like this. Now, this project is the sample project. You can see all the resources. It's also submoduled so that I actually am using the library directly within the sample. And this is nice because it makes it a lot easier for us to debug and run the application. And so we provide some information on how to get that set up and running. And so let's go ahead and actually take a look at this as it's running. I'm going to go ahead and run. It's going to open up the emulator. Now, I've got it configured to use Access Control Service. So you can see here's my Home Realm Discovery page, and I get prompted to log in. So I'm going to use one of my demo accounts that I have on Hotmail because, as you can see here, you'll see my password. Great. So now that we've logged in, you can see here, working through the proxies and stuff, we have the full ability to enumerate and work with objects and storage. So what's new with Android? Well, actually, everything's new with Android. We've talked about the Android released for the last couple of months, but we're now finally releasing it. So essentially, we're calling this version 0.8. One of the reasons is we feel that there's still some room for us to kind of advance what we're providing, and we want to give kind of a quick early look to everyone so that we can get some feedback and make some improvements and kind of figure out the direction that we're going to take. But in this first drop, we're essentially providing access to storage as well as the ability to authenticate and authorize users using our membership capabilities that are provided through the services within Windows Azure. So the model is consistent and the same. It's the same services we're using as with Windows Phone and iOS, but now we're making them available to Android. We also provide a simple sample application that essentially demonstrates how to go about leveraging the libraries that we've written for storage and authentication, and then some documentation that you can use. And so what I want to do is give you a quick demonstration of how this works and how you can get started. And so let's jump over to Eclipse. And essentially, what we've got here is a number of projects that you'll use within Eclipse. And in these projects, we have a library, we have a sample, and then we've got all our JUnit tests as well. And if you start digging into it, the library is where a lot of the meat of it is. And so essentially, it's a full library that can allow you to express and interact with Windows Azure Storage, blobs, tables, and queues. And also it provides all the authentication and authorization components as well. And so this library is set up, if you take a look at the way Android has it, Android works, is we've set this project up as a library so that from our sample application, we can end up referring to that library. And so when we run the sample application, we're essentially using all the libraries and all the source that we've written within the library project in order to power that sample application. So let me show you what this looks like. Essentially, I've already got the emulator running. So what I'm going to do is essentially run the sample application on the emulator. And very simple UI. We didn't want to complicate things by, we'll let you guys create the really compelling UIs as we move forward. But essentially, this sample application fully leverages the library. So let's take a look at that. So we've got two different modes. We can choose to work with the proxy services so that we're essentially communicating through the services and the proxies running through Windows Azure, or we can go directly against Windows Azure Storage. So with Windows Azure Storage, here you can see I can essentially enumerate everything within table storage. Here's the data that I have. I can take a look at some of the components within it. Here's some of that data. I can move back. I can take a look at blob storage. Let's see, I can end up modifying some stuff. I can create containers. Essentially everything that you'd expect to be able to do, I can do from within the sample application, and even with queues. So I can end up taking a look at some of the queue data. I can add items to the queue, messages, etc. So essentially, the sample application provides an example of how you would end up leveraging the libraries that we've built in order to communicate with Windows Azure. So we're very excited to release this. I think it's a long time coming, and really hope that this is something that you can use to start building applications, Android applications, and using Windows Azure. So, excellent. So, what's the roadmap? Well, first let me talk a little bit about what we've been able to do to date. So in March was when we first released the Windows Azure Toolkit for Windows Phone 7. This was our version 1.0 drop, and it's roughly equivalent to what we're releasing now for Android. Essentially, it was some project templating, sample applications, libraries for storage and authentication, as well as documentation. We followed that up pretty rapidly in April with a release that provided the push notification support, which was very, very nice. Gives you the ability to push down raw, tile, and toast messages. And then in May, we released a lot. We released our first Android toolkit, our first iOS toolkit, which provided support for storage and authentication, as well as a sample application. We also released the Cloud Ready package for devices, where we pre-compiled all these services for you so that you didn't have to essentially use multiple environments if you were building iOS applications. And then we also released updates to the Windows Phone Toolkit, where we provided support for the Access Control Service and Windows Azure Storage Queues. In June, we followed up with additional flavors or versions of the Cloud Ready package so that if you were building an iOS application and you wanted to use APNS or the Access Control Service, we essentially had a version of the service in the package for you so that you didn't have to wire that stuff up yourself. And then we also released an update to the Windows Phone 7 toolkit to support the Mango beta. In July, we released updates to the Windows Azure Toolkit for iOS that provided support for the Access Control Service and Apple Push Notifications, along with some updates and refactoring. And then we continued to advance the Windows Phone Toolkit so that we used the latest tools. And then this month, we are releasing what we already talked about, version 1.3 of the Toolkit for Windows Phone 7, which included MVC3, the SQL Azure components, additional sample applications, so BabelCam, as well as a lot of refactoring and updates to the source. And then finally, we were able to release the Android Toolkit. So some pretty compelling updates here in August. Now, moving forward, our plan is to keep working on these libraries, but we want to really start emphasizing sample applications. And now that we've got libraries for Windows Phone iOS and Android, we want to start building these samples that are cross-device platform so that you can leverage the same services but build an application that spans all of the devices. So expect to see a lot more of these samples from us as we move forward. So all of these resources are available today. So you can get them up in CodePlex for the Windows Phone. And then for iOS and Android in the Cloud Ready packages, they're all up on our GitHub repository under the Microsoft DPE organization. So please go out and grab copies of these. We love the feedback. And especially on GitHub, if you make updates or advancements, and if you want to see those contributions reflected in our repositories, initiate a pull merge request. We've accepted these in the past when we've gotten good contributions, and we love getting the contributions from the community. So definitely send those to us if you can. And with that, thank you very much. I hope this was informative. Hope you learned some stuff, and I hope you're excited to start using these toolkits. Thanks.